We have confidence in Harvey, so we feel good about our safety position.
We've seen this Michigan State defense in the last couple of years. What makes this one maybe different than some of the other ones that they've had the last two seasons?
I just think they got a veteran group. A lot of these guys, I mean, it seems like it's the same group that played against us 2 years ago. Forget last year. I'm talking about 2 years ago. So they have a lot of experience. And Pat Narduzzi does a really good job. They have a good. They're well coached on defense, and you can see their guys out there. You see, Bola and they communicate well. They've been in the system for a long time, so they're pretty advanced, and they understand not only their system but what people are trying to do to them, and it allows you to do a little bit more the more veteran you are like that. And I think that they've progressed. They continue to change and upgrade and keep getting better, and they do a nice job.
Build themselves around their defense. I know that you want to do that. Michigan State does it too. Can you talk about the level of respect for what they've done up there, and maybe some like-mindedness or similarities there are between the way you want to do things and the way they do things?
Well, I mean, I think that they're committed to obviously to playing great defense. And like I said, they've had a group that has kind of grown up together. And been to a lot of these kids are 3 and 4 year starters, and that bodes well for you. But it's an attitude of how they play, on offense. They play to their strengths on defense. They're committed to running the football. They're committed to stopping the run, and they execute well. They're just a well-coached, sound football team. And that leads to good things for your football team. They play the right way. And that means they're coached the right way. I have a lot of respect for the coaching staff over there, Coach D'Antonio and Pat Narduzzi and the rest of them. Those guys know how to coach, and it's translated in how they play.
Coach, as good as they are defensively, is that going to change what you're trying to do on offense this weekend at all?
Not going to necessarily change what we do, but we're going to be doing it against some pretty good folks. We need to execute well. We need to play well. We need to be efficient, and we're taking a good hard look at them and trying to figure out different things that we might be able to take advantage of or exploit, but we're gonna be challenged big time. They're a good group.
What do you think the chances are that Martinez plays again for you?
I want to clarify something. He has some nagging injuries, but at the end of the day, it comes down to his foot, and his foot hasn't enabled him to play. I know one thing, that there's no one that's more frustrated than Taylor, and it's a foot injury that we knew could linger, and it's really hasn't gotten much better. So, obviously I can't look into a crystal ball, but it's been tough on the kid, and I don't know if the chances are real good. I mean, it's not a good injury to have. I mean, you think it's going to, you just don't know. It's one of those injuries where it's difficult to say, when it's going to heal. I feel for the kid. I mean, it's a tough thing to happen to you during your senior year.
What was the mindset about not taking him to Michigan?
Well, at the end of the day, really, nobody was going to go, with our injuries, we need to bring a bunch of people. And at the end of the day, we weren't sure if anybody was going to go. And Taylor's, Drake had surgery the other day. So his mindset was we weren't sure if we were going to take anybody that wasn't going to suit up. And other than, obviously, Spencer Long, who has a waiver, and really Will Richards had a waiver, but he didn't go. So I wouldn't read anything into that.
Jay Coppin was there a chance that he could
there was a chance he wouldn't have been able to go either. It just so happened we had a spot left at the end. But at the end of the day, especially as beat up as we have, we're not going to have the luxury of bringing a bunch of guys that can't suit up.
Could Jake possibly play this week?
Yeah, anything's possible. Right now, nothing's changed right now. So we'll just see how the week progresses.
Is there
So it'll be, it's real early in the week to be talking about that. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, I mean, it's Monday. We don't play till Saturday. So, I mean, like I said, kind of like last week, I'll give you guys an update towards the end of the week to see how the week goes. And you know, if we were to play today, no, he wouldn't play.
Searles, is that about the same as what you thought, Barry, a few weeks
ago? You know, Searles is almost exactly like Jake Cotton's. Not as much swelling as Jake probably had initially. So that's a good thing. That's a good sign. But it's almost identical, the MRI, to what Jake dealt with.
Do you keep Rodriguez at guard, or does he go back to tackle? I mean, you kind of decided, have you looked at how you want to do it?
I think you're going to be a number of, you're going to see, I think you'll see A-Rod at guard, and I think you'll see A-Rod at tackle. I mean, it's, you could see a lot of different combinations up there.
On Saturday, I don't think you started practicing guard Tuesday. Is that right? And just what did you see from A-Rod?
I thought he did some good things. You know, there are some things, some technique issues, some things that are obviously different at the tackle position as opposed to guard. And I thought that showed up a couple times footwork-wise and that type of thing. I thought he did, you know, a pretty good job considering he hasn't played guard in probably, I don't know, I don't remember the last time we actually used A-Rod at guard. But, you know, it helps, obviously, that he's has some experience up there, in there.
How's Sarah do?
Zach did well. I mean, wasn't perfect by any means, but he did a good job. I thought he came in, he responded well. He's thrown into that position, and I said I think that he's going to be a really good player down the line, but he's a young player, and he's learning. And, you know, he did some good things, but he did some things that, you know, he'll need to learn from.
Zach's a guy that you kind of knew you'd have to develop a little bit because he was really a basketball player first in high school. Do you see college football teams looking more at guys, at big guys that play basketball and can convert to football like Zach or Randy, who was a basketball player in high school as well? Do you see that becoming more common in recruiting, just looking for good athletes as opposed to seasoned football players?
I think there's a little bit of both. You know, it depends what your situation is. You know, there's sometimes that, you know, I mean, it would be interesting to, like, Avery Moss. When I first saw Avery, I didn't even know if he played football at that point. And when I was walking around the gym when we were recruiting Todd Pete, asking people, does this kid play football? And found out he hadn't played much, but, you know, you could see the things that that I would look for in a defensive end. And yeah, obviously he's raw. But, you know, most of the kids you get, depends on obviously what program they come out of. But you're going to get a lot of raw kids, and you got to develop them. And in every situation's a little bit different. I remember when I first saw Stirrup, you know, I mean, part of it is you got to look at him and say, you know, what kind of frame. Some of it's guesswork, but, you know, trying to figure out where they are now and what is their ability, what is their frame, and how much weight are they going to be able to put on? Are they going to be able to put on the size, you know? And, you know, I mean, I think the first time I saw Zach, he was around probably maybe 250. I don't remember what he was, maybe even less than that. But so there's some some projection there.
You think of Amir's role on the team, and he's averaging better than 7.5 yards on first downs and making big plays for you the last couple weeks at the end. Just as far as what his identity is to your guys' offense.
Amir, I mean, obviously, he just, the guy's a warrior. He plays hard. He's a leader. He's a winner. He wants the ball in his hands, and he's everything you want. Yeah, you know, and I can say that he's everything you want on the field. He's everything you want off the field. He's a joy to have on your football team and a joy to coach. And you know, he brings it every day. He has a drive, burning desire inside of him to compete. And it's about the right things. You're not going to meet a guy, be around a guy that's you know, as unselfish as he is. He is totally about the football team. And he isn't out there worried about statistics or anything else. All he's worried about is doing what he needs to do to make himself better and make this team better. And that's a joy to have around on your football team.
That said, Bo, is he an All-American?
I know I wouldn't trade him for anybody. I mean, you know, how those votes and all that happens, I don't know, but he's an All-American in my book because he's a special guy. Like I said, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm privy to with the way he is. Like I said, he's an All-American on the field. He's an All-American off the field in his personal life and how he helps the younger guys and everything he does. He does it the right way, and there's a lot to be said for that.
It's hard to project and hypothesize or go hypothetical, but do you think you guys would have 7 wins if he weren't with you?
Well, I don't know. probably not. I don't. You know, I mean, I think he's special. You know, and I think that I think we have other good young backs that are going to benefit down the line from being around him, from being around. You know. And, you know, let's face it, let's give Coach Brown a lot of credit here, too. Because, you know, Coach Brown does a heck of a job of nurturing these guys, mentoring them, and doing his thing. It shows up in the type of, and let's, you know, it also goes back to, you know, when I went and when I first, was recruiting Amir, and I went and sat down in his home. You want to talk about a family that's about the right things. And you know, his brother came in for the home visit, his parents. I mean, they're about all the right things and about doing everything that they could do to give their son every opportunity in life. And he was smart enough, and Amir was able to take that guidance in that great home life that the sacrifices his family was making for him and was able to put it to use and listened. And because that's the hardest thing for kids to do is actually listen to what they're being told. But I can tell you this, from a young age, it was really apparent to me right off the bat that Amir was being told the right things at home. And that's, you know, there's a lot to be said for that.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
Having a conversation with him as to whether now's the time to leave to the next level, or if he should come back for another year.
I would be shocked if Amir was a guy where that was even a thought in his mind right now. But if it is, we'll deal with that when the time comes. But I always, you know, in my experience, you only go to college once, and the NFL is going to be there for Amir Abdul. And I always believe you're better off staying, you know, playing it out. Unless, of course, you're going to be a top 5 pick, and that doesn't happen, you know, top 5, top 10 pick, and that doesn't happen to many running backs these days.
Why would you, in Amir's case, be shocked?
Just from knowing the young man, knowing his family. You know, I mean, I've been shocked before. Like I said, you know, I'm glad he's on our football team. And let me tell you, if he ever decided that was the way to go, then I'd support him on it. I mean, I want the best for Amir, not only short term but long term. But my job will be to help in that type of situation to help educate him and help him make the choice that's best for he and his family.
When Randy Gregory gets going, it's pretty obvious. He's pretty damn convinced to an offense. How far does he have to still go, though? I mean, with all of his natural gifts, how much better can he get?
Oh, a lot better. And, you know, I've seen him get a lot better as this year has gone on. And I'm talking about the little things, you know, to be a great, great player, you got to be a complete player. And he's not that yet. He's got a lot to learn. He's still raw in a lot of respects. Obviously, he's very talented. He's a very instinctive football player, and he plays his butt off. But to become great, it's about there's a lot of details that have to be that are a part of that. And you know, let's face it, in his stage of his development, there are a lot of things that he doesn't even begin to understand yet and know. And I bet he'd be the first one to tell you he's got a lot to work on to really develop into being a complete player. Much of the way, you know, and I'm not throwing him in the Sue's category yet. But I think he can have that type of impact on our program down the line. But that's when Sue became a lot better player. It wasn't about the statistics or the stats or anything else. It was when he really bought in and really bought into the details and the little things that allowed him to become the player he was here as he finished up his career. Because he hadn't bought into that for a while. And you know, I think he's told you guys he'd be the first one to admit that.
Coach, I noticed you guys blitzed a lot more on Saturday than maybe what you had earlier in the season. Is that something you're going to use in your defensive game plan moving forward?
When the situation calls for it.
You said a couple weeks ago after the Minnesota game, your defense wasn't doing a real good job handling those. Last 2 weeks. You list a lot, and they seem to handle it pretty well. What changed in those 2 weeks with players?
You know what we did. It's something that's a big part of our scheme. We've been less, busting things to hurt. You know, things that have hurt us. We've executed better, but there were some things that we didn't execute very well in the game. We got away with, and so it's a constant progression. It's, you know, we got to keep working at it because, you know, sometimes those things, you know, to the naked eye, you don't realize that there's some things that we got away with because we didn't execute very well. We just got to keep growing. We're getting better, but we're not where we need to be. And the level of execution is increasing, but really not to the level that I'm comfortable with yet. But our kids are getting better and they're playing harder, then they're gaining confidence. And I think that's a big part of it as you go. Our communication's getting better, our confidence is getting better, which is allowing us to play faster. And I think you can see with the type of athletes we have that if we can play fast, we can be pretty good.
Some of those pressures decided upon by the players in the moment, like pre-snap, based on what the formation is or how they
A few, but not that's rare. Some of them, though, are you know, adjust. Obviously, you have to adjust almost all those by formation.
In a game like this week, can you talk about the importance of field position and winning those battles with a defense like Michigan State's going to have?
I think it's big. I think field position will be big, and winning on first down and both sides of the football will be big. There's a lot of things that come that it's going to, you know, every yard, you know, we were pointing it out last week, every play, every yard counted. And we hurt ourselves in some instances, special teams wise, the other day, a block in the back. Obviously the drop punt, you know, turnovers, field position are going to be big. We need to execute well in that area of the game.
Well, Michigan State's punters have an All-America type year. They've won a lot of games with getting hidden yardage. You know, you guys have struggled a little bit returning punts. Is that something you can get cleaned up in a week's time? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we actually haven't been bad in the punt return game. It's just, you know, last week obviously you drop one and it's. That's a like worst case scenario. I thought I was in a bad dream when I saw it happen. But you know what we need to execute this Saturday. You know, and then obviously the one that mortar shot that kid hit from Michigan. I mean, that was the damnedest punt I've seen in a while. It was like all of a sudden I don't know whether the wind changed or what happened, but that ball. You know, we were worried about, and you know what, we need to do a better job of communicating. And I put that on me and we as coaches on what happened to Terrell right there. You know, the wind was swirling and we kind of told him, don't catch it. If it's a difficult catch low and it's going away from you, don't mess with it. And, I think, you know, we need to explain better exactly what we wanted him to do right there. And that's, you know what, he's a young guy, and I don't put that on him. I put that on us. And that was unfortunate. And, you know, that ball came off that kid's foot. The same thing. It was my first bad dream of the day. And then the second one came on the next punt return. So, but you know, that's something you can always learn as a coach, is that you got to make sure that you, you know, don't assume anything. You got to make sure you explain things the right way. And I put that on me.
Just to clarify, you just want to catch it then in that scenario because of the way that ball's kicked.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was really worried about the wind going that way and the way the ball was getting kind of knocked down. And I didn't want to put him, you know, Terrell, I didn't want to put him into a difficult situation where the balls, if it was a certain type of punt, I didn't quite explain that the right way to him. And yeah, I mean, if he wouldn't have caught that ball in the air anyway, the way it was hit, but he probably could have got back and fielded it and kept it from going to the one. But who's to know if things going to stop on the 1 yard line? But it was unfortunate. But I put that on me, not on Terrell Newby.
About the resiliency that your team has shown the last couple of weeks, do you see that as reflective at all of your personality,
your staff? Yeah, I think that it's. I don't know if it's reflective on me or anything else. I think it's hopefully it's a reflection on our culture of our program, and kind of we have a pretty consistent approach and you know, just keep playing and the things that we have to do, you know, week to week, play to play, and give yourself an opportunity to win. You know, we're, you know, a very process oriented team, and to, you know, we keep talking about, we, you know, the more you get together, you're together, you keep, we just talk about team, and picking each other up and doing what we have to do and just fighting to the end no matter what happens. And believe me, that's what our kids are all about. And at the end of the day, that's all you can do to give yourself an opportunity to win.
Well, it's certainly all new. Football culture's been in the spotlight for a couple of weeks now. Because of actually a former Nebraska player, sort of the hazing culture of football. What steps do you as a coach take to try to prevent what's happening with the Miami Dolphins now from happening in Nebraska? What message do you send to players, especially older players, younger players?
Well, we try to have our thumb on every little thing in this program, first and foremost, as far as what our expectations are. Not just, more importantly, much, much more so off the field in the classroom, and how they represent this program and represent each other, how they treat the people they come across. You know, there's a lot bigger picture out here than football. And trust me, we don't ignore that in this program. Yeah, we want to win, obviously, but first and foremost, we want to do things the right way. And our kids have a really pretty good understanding in our program that you're going to be, we talk a lot about accountability, and we don't pay it lip service. We hold our kids accountable that if they step out of line or they're doing things not the right way, and that just doesn't mean as far as football-wise or going to class. That just means how they're treating people, how they act on a daily basis and represent every part of this program, the fans and the administration, their families, my family, myself, everybody, that you won't be around here long. And, you know, and there's we haven't had any instances of that really happening. If it does, I would hope that if somebody was ever getting having a difficult time, or somebody was getting paid a hard time, I would anticipate that young man would walk into my office and that would end that day. But, you know, that's why you got to have great communication. The only way that you prevent things like that from happening is somebody to communicate. But like I tell our players a lot is, if there's an issue and if you don't make me aware of it, I can't take care of it. I mean, so you got to have great communication throughout your program, and they have to feel comfortable being able to do that.
You were only coach for one game, and I was an intern head coach, but your recollection of him in Nebraska, anything that you recall specifically?
I didn't have a lot of interaction with Richie. Obviously, he was on the offensive side, but I don't honestly, as much as it's been talked about, I got a lot of other things on my mind. I have not, I'm not real aware of what the situation is. I know it's unfortunate. I don't think anybody out there who's talking about it really knows everything that's gone on. And I think all you can do is wait and sit back and let the people who are doing the investigation do their work and figure out the right way to you know, come to the right conclusions. And other than that, you know, him being a former player, you wish him well. And if he was in the wrong, you hope that he learns his lesson from it. If he wasn't, you hope he gets vindicated.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
Do you feel that this is the biggest game of the year so far?
Yeah, every game, every week's the biggest game for me. And that's about it. I mean, our approach won't change.
Coach, with all the talk about their defense, you worry about your offense being intimidated?
No. I don't think our players will be intimidated. It's not about being intimidated or anything else. It's about executing your football. If we're good enough, we'll execute well enough. And first and foremost, we have to do is figure out, you know, we have some things to figure out as the week goes on and figure out, you know, how we're going to be able to, what we're going to do up front, obviously, with our different combinations, and figure out what's best and what's going to give us the best opportunity to win this football game. That's all we're concerned with right now. As far as intimidation or anything else, at the end of the day, what our guys have a lot of respect for this defense. And I would anticipate that our approach would make our guys play that much harder and take the challenge, because it's going to be a heck of a challenge playing against that group.
I know that you don't have a general lack of concern about being intimidated, but there's something about Tommy's poise that bolsters your confidence even more so.
Well, Tommy Armstrong is not going to be intimidated. I mean, that much I know. You know, but he's going to be challenged. I will tell you that. He's going to be challenged because because they're good. They execute well. They know what they want to do, and they do it very well. So, like I said, it's going to be about us, about our level of execution, not anything else. They're not going to back down.
Hey, Bo, would you anticipate Tommy and Ron sharing playing time still, or do you think you might just go with Tommy?
If we were to play today, we haven't really talked much about that right now, but if we were to play today, we'd do exactly what we've been doing.
And Kenny Bell, I know he was kind of fighting it during the game, just trying to stay loose. They've been a couple big catches down at the end. Was there a concern as how much you get to use him on Saturday and how healthy he was going into game day?
Yeah, I wasn't sure where he was going to be. He felt good. I thought he he's ahead of where he was at this time a week ago, so that bodes well for us. Was that answer your question, John? All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.